Hello everyone. My today's guest is Thomas Biedermann, strategy design consultant at the SAP App House in Heidelberg, based in Germany, the first of the currently five locations around the world, including locations like Berlin, South Korea, New York, Palo Alto. By the way, happy third birthday of the App House New York, I wrote 1 hour ago.
Yeah, that's right. They are celebrating their third year. A small team, but very cool outcomes. Great team.
Thomas, I'm so honored to have you today in the show. You are a designer and storyteller. You come from the non-digital stone age, as you describe it yourself, meaning you are still able to work with real ink, even if this gets a little messy, but you have always remained curious and made sure to expand your skills. What skills are you working on right now?
Yeah, currently right now, I'm digging deeper into my digital facilitator skills. So no ink on my hands at these times. So now as COVID appears, we changed our systems and we conduct workshops mostly online. And it's pretty different to be a digital facilitator than in a real life workshop. So that's a skill I just train now. An old one, but always new, is the topic of VR and AR. It's always interesting. It looks like somehow it's always at the edge of getting normal and it's just not coming. the fun thing had a few years ago when the equipment was very expensive, I invented a laser prototyping without equipment. You just need a laser, a projection, and a clicker. So that's how I try to be innovative in that field. And the third skill I discovered in the last years is video production, where I, it's some kind of a passion to me now.
Wow, sounds great. Sounds amazing. What made you work in the industry of design? What's your motivation?
I think I started designing as a kid. I know I painted in school on the table during school. That was not good for my notes, but I was happy and I liked the feedback I got about my paintings and things like that, and that made me so interested in not only painting, but then it evolved to design, creating things people like and later also support. So it was intrinsic to me to do something with design, and all the school and everything is ended to finally be able to study design. So I studied it. I never changed my profession. I like it until today. So I was born with it, I think, with the fun to design.
So I'd say it's like a true calling, as IDEO Chief Kelly would place it, right?
yes, it's falling. I don't know where I heard it or where it comes from, but it is like it is. Yeah, it's so much fun until today. So I think that's a thing you should do if you like it and the work is nice.
Well, yeah, you've been working for SAP right now over 7 years, I think. So it's some obviously a great work. At
yes.
The SAP App House, which is as I read, a new concept of workspaces. What is so special about it?
Yeah, as you said, I'm working already 7 years there, so it's not so new. But so for me, the App House is a space where creativity and teamwork is concentrated. It's an empathy hub, where also constant team improvement is in the DNA of every colleague. I feel that every day. And the last thing I experienced that was for sure when COVID-19 appears and we couldn't offer our important customer workshops live. And the great thing was the colleagues and the people immediately reacted. And the team accepted this challenge and started to switch from physical workshops to online workshops. It was a real challenge, And we created a whole new way of doing workshops by translating our methods to pure online activity. And today we have a whole ecosystem that guarantees that the results are still valid and innovative. The concept is in the App House that the customer and the end users are absolutely in our focus. But for sure, what is also important, what designers like to forget, that you have to keep the balance also to business and also be always aware what kind of latest technologies you can use. And that makes it so unique. So it's not unique overall, but bringing people from all stakeholders together and get to know their needs from business, from technology, and this all together generates just great ideas, innovation, and results. And you can be sure that in the end, a product or a service fits the needs of the people. And that's so important. And that's what we do in the App House.
But even if you're not a designer, but a room called Sherlock Holmes is probably always interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Or the Bauhaus, I think. So everyone who wants to know more about the App House and all those nice different rooms where it can be really creative, you have a website. So SAP is probably, and of course the App House, one of the companies known for design thinking. How would you define design thinking? It's a trick question, I know.
No, it's a big question, and I think everybody involved or has something to do with design thinking has a different perspective on it. And for me, I can tell you when I started SAP, I had no clue about design thinking. I just was a designer doing software design, websites, branding, and this stuff. And I learned about design thinking for sure in the App House, and all the time I thought, what is so special about it? That's how it should be. And I think as a designer, or if you study it or work in that field, you have that intrinsically in it. So being user-centered, doing research, iterate. So all these stuff design thinking is doing, I knew already, but I like it a lot because it gives you somehow a leaded approach. And so everybody who is not a designer or cannot imagine how these kind of projects should work can grab what it is to go through these kind of projects. So it's showing you how it works and you can understand it. Before, as a designer, it was very hard for me about the process and to explain what I do and how I do it. And especially in the industry and within SAP, it's a great tool or method also to explain how this process is going on. And it helps you to lead along the way.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, what you say about the intrinsic of this design thinking is it's exactly the way I notice it too. So there is another term hanging around. It's called hybrid thinking. Where is the difference to design thinking? Is there one?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit expanded design thinking. I mean, design thinking has methods and things in it, and I would say hybrid thinking is expanding it a little bit. For example, that culture is also an important topic. We know that we have to invite different stakeholders and be diverse in design thinking, so bring more people together, but also the focus on how important culture in a company is, and that you have to think also about that, because without a culture of innovation, no innovation will happen in a company. And I think hybrid thinking is just expanding this stuff and forces you to be open-minded, not be in your design thinking world, just peek also around what else is happening in the world. And that's for me the difference to from hybrid thinking to design thinking.
And so going back to design thinking, one of those principles of this design thinking process where they define steps, which would be like understanding, observing, defining a point of view, finding ideas, prototyping, testing, and especially observing the second one, in my opinion, is the most intense one. This is where you learn about the human beings behind, the customer that buys, the user that uses. How do you observe?
I totally agree with you. The interviews and end users, this is the best thing you can do. Just 2 hours ago, I conducted an interview with an end user, and I also invited other colleagues from the team who are not familiar how to do an interview and things like that. And every time they are stunned how deep you get to know your user and his needs. So also about his feelings, not only facts and figures, so what kind of software is he using or how is his daily work. No, he's also telling you that he's complaining and that he don't like the job, and you can ask why and you can help him. So for me, the observation of end users or also maybe some stakeholders, what's their pain, is also very insightful, and that helps a lot. And the second part, what is also important, is the constant learning, so that you'll be open for new methods and try out, that you look, oh, what's that, how is he doing an interview, or how other people look for insights within people. So the so-called persona, how do they create a persona? That's important, but doing interviews is always fantastic because you learn the most.
Was it in a remote interview you did, or was it?
Sure.
Yeah, in times of Corona, I know.
And I learned in that interview that there are people working, and from 9 to 5 they don't like their job.
Oh, and yeah.
It's partly a mess, and that's so rewarding if you finally can help them to make it better. So nothing better to be a designer. So that's a part today I thought, okay, we will help you.
This is called improving experience, of what I think.
Yes.
So if it wants you, let's take this interview. Once you've got those insights, not only for one interview, but maybe 5, 6, 10, how you get those insights, this knowledge from you back in the team where they produce new ideas, create new experiences, new products?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the time, if it's possible, I record the interviews for sure. Normally you can do also note it down, but that's very difficult doing that simultaneously, or if a colleague is doing that. So and after that, I try to go through my questions, and most of the time I'm doing like a diagram where I put connections to it. So I analyze the interview. What insights do I have? What stakeholders is he having? What kind of data or Excel sheets does he need? How is he interacting? And first, I just try to summarize that for me in a big board. And yeah, that could differ. I work in for sure with Adobe and in Vision, Azure, Adobe XD coming now, and for sure Mural, the whiteboard, the digital whiteboard solution. I also use now a lot for gathering my thoughts about that, because you can share it easy, work together with that. So that's the way I go on.
So Mural is the board you were talking about, or is board the term for all tools you just mentioned?
No, the Mural board. So a Mural whiteboard online is what I mentioned. Yeah.
Well, sounds really, really cool. I actually wanted to ask you if you have a playbook or something like a toolkit that you use additionally to those design tools like Adobe InVision or.
Yes, for sure. As we also like to support the design community and all customers also facing these problems. And just this year, we won the German Design Award
for our
innovation. Yeah, thank you. By the way, the New York team has a tremendous impact on that toolkit. So many kudos to them. Because the Innovation Toolkit it is a framework, and it has 5 key interconnected enablers of innovation. So that's people, for sure, process, a place, like our app house, it's leadership and technology. And besides many templates, the human-centered approach to innovation, workshop methods, and innovation culture assessment, we also offer some tools, and we develop them on our own based on our co-innovation experience. So if you like, you can go to our website under the tab tool. There is, for example, which I always use in our customer journey, it's Scenes. You may have heard about it. My colleague Karen Detkin invented it, and it's a tool to create visual stories without drawing skills. So you can grab a lot of assets and build your own customer journey. And it's very tangible. Instead of writing down like a script, you can build like comic-like scenes. And that's helping a lot if you want to show others how the story is evolving, what your product is going to do, what the challenges are. So I recommend you to have a look at Scenes. But also, we invented a collaborative toolkit to create chatbots. It's a new challenge we have as designers, and we call it dot dot bot. And that tool, it helps you to go along a conversation you can have with the chatbot. Also very cool. The third one is if you want to set up an innovative team, for example, or you have a space, and Spectrum is supporting you to set up these teams. So based it's like a board game, so it's like a game. That's why it's also fun to do that. And it shows you, based on the needs of the people working in that innovative creative space, how you can set up the team. And that's pretty cool. What kind of people do you need? What do they need to know? What, business, designers, and the mixture of a team. And the fourth one is Mosaic, and that's where you can enable teams to prototype future creative spaces, so based on their individual way of work. It's also like a board game, so in case you want a kitchen and you want to eat together, how many people are there, how big do you want it to be, or are you going out and you don't need a kitchen? Or how many small meetings rooms do you need? How much workshops do you conduct? How many workshops rooms do you need? And that's where Mosaic is helping you a lot. And I can only recommend to go to our website and have a look.
Yeah, that's I need to say that too. It's even if you don't use every tool, even the one scene that you mentioned at first, is so incredible. And I mean, as a creative person, you don't even have to be a designer at all. It's such a great a tool to actually work with in a team with yourself. So URL is going to be provided under this link, under this video, of course. Yeah. Thomas, what was your most interesting project?
The most interesting project, that's already some years ago. That's maybe when I started at SAP. It's one of the first projects I did, and that was with Mercedes AMG. So famous car manufacturer also. And for sure, a little bit. I like cars, and that was the time when the AMG GT was not out there, and I saw a model of it there, and that was very interesting. But it was most of the cool thing of that project was the first time I experienced this design thinking and collaborative approach in that project. We spent a lot of time in Affalterbach at AMG. They spent a lot of time in the App House, and we provided or tried to support them by building a software where every department is connected, and it's starting from the first sketch of the car designers until the car runs out of the factory. And it's a 4-year cycle, and it was a huge project with so much people talking about it, having needs and things like that. And that was where I also experienced the power of design thinking, going through these methods with end user interviews, bringing everybody together. And that was a pretty cool project, for sure, also because of the topic, cars. Mm-hmm. It was my first project at AMG, SAP, and I saw the impact of this methods we are doing with this human-centered approach to innovation. That was fantastic.
Yeah, you said you interviewed or spoke with many, many people. How many were it, just approximately?
I think we had about 8 or 9 departments, and from every department we had 4 to 5 interviews. So now you can count. I need my fingers. I'm a designer. I cannot count.
So a lot.
Yes.
Well, it's a great experience, and I mean, 4 years having this big project must be a great experience. And I know that not only you, but many of our audience are liking auto cars as well. So I think it's an interesting thing. Do you provide a project overview on your website? Can anybody look it up? What was the project?
Yes, we have many projects also on the website. So you can read what we found out. Some have also videos. We created videos. Yeah. A lot of material on our website.
So everybody can look it up.
Yeah.
I guess working for SAP means also already creating experiences with AI or machine learning, right? Is there a recent project that was done in combination with AI or machine learning?
Yes. It was not a project I was involved. It was the Palo Alto team who did that. But that was one of the first we did about machine learning and the topic of AI. And that was very interesting. You can also read the story on our website. It's about Costco. It's a wholesaler who has bakeries all over the world, especially in the States. And they had the challenge, or they came with a challenge to us, that they want to reduce waste and simply transforming the bakery planning. Excuse me. So they have bakery managers, and they always have to forecast how many bread will we sell tomorrow. And for sure, the experience of a manager is very important. And we thought we can help them by providing AI and machine learning to improve this. So based on all data, so how many breads have been sold on which day in the past. So for sure, Sunday is more than Monday. We also added data like weather, or if there is a big sports event, do the people buy more then? Or is there a traffic jam and the people don't reach the bakery? And with all these insight and machine learning, we improved this experience of a bakery manager, and we definitely made it to reduce waste from 5 to 10% in based on the best performance of the best manager they have. So it's not only that we have this experience now in the software, it's in case somebody is getting sick, you have something you can work with. And that was pretty cool, because that not only saves a lot of money because you don't have to throw back food, it's also something about sustainability. And that's also what I like with that project, because throwing away waste, yeah, you should avoid that wherever you can. And if we can help in our projects to do that, that's even more fun. So that's also why I like to be at SAP, because you can improve a lot of things in the world.
Really important. And a good idol, I think, to copy that one. It's a huge impact. I mean, Costco in USA is really huge.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked, switching back to business or design and business, you said that experience design has also a business value. And design thinking combines like three fundamental core aspects, which is utility, feasibility, and marketability. How do you decide if a product meets the criteria for marketability?
I mean, the criteria is clear for me, because if it's based on end user feedback, acceptance, and usage. So basically, you cannot tell it upfront, but if you do your research and keep the end user involved, then you get all these stuff. So the end user likes to work with the software, if it's a software. The acceptance, that was, by the way, maybe I can tell that because of the AMG project, because it's very hard sometimes for end users to accept a new coming software. So you have your experience, you know how you work, you have your day-to-day, and then a new software is brought to you. And most of the time, you don't deny it a little bit, because you know you have to learn it. It's you know already what you do. And in the AMG project, having these 40 or 50 people using this software already, and they experienced that they contributed to the final result. So they know I have a voice in creating this software. They made a lot of marketing within AMG, so that everybody says, when can we have it? When can we have it? It sounds so cool. And that's also, I think, a very important criteria. So how is the acceptance of a service or a product? And for sure, if they use it finally and like it.
Oh, yeah, I know that. If you are used to a product or used to a thing you do every day, like the normal behavior, it's really hard to adapt it. Sometimes you don't notice it yourself, obviously, but I know how hard this is to change behavior in the users.
Yeah, that's normal. And that's the way they brought this software into the company, because it just, everybody heard of it, that there is something coming, and they like.
So a great story, and like you did some buzz before, I'd say.
Yeah, the end users did the buzz.
Right, right.
That's the good thing about it.
That's the best thing you can actually do, right? To do the end users do the buzz. As you say, that's how you define marketability. But in terms of define the business value of experience design and research, how do you do that?
I mean, this is pretty hard. Also, going back to the beginning of the App House, we started just with user experience and things like that. And from that on, we evolved. And also, you have this challenge to explain also for stakeholders within your company. So if you're a designer in a company, you always have to fight, why should we do user experience? Why end users? We know already what they need, and things like that. And what is the business value of a happy user? So it's pretty hard to grab. At the beginning, we started also simply with a UX calculator. So where you can put in some numbers, how much time it saves, how many clicks. So just improving the user experience. And finally, you have a number, but that's a very low touch. I think it's much more interesting that also the stock market and the big companies already accept that happy end users and user experience is a very important part in the performance of a company. And I don't know if you know the DMI index. It's the Design Management Institute index. And there was so from the stock market, and they looked over 10 years, for example, for Coca-Cola, Apple, Ford, IBM, Disney, Nike, all very design-driven companies, which also have focus on user experience. And they outperformed in the stock market the normal S&P index about more than 200%. So in the stock market, it's shown that design-centric companies definitely have an advantage, also with business value. And I think that's one of the strongest arguments you can have.
I agree. I cannot put anything else to that. And can anyone be a great designer or great design thinker? Is there a special skill set needed? I mean, you said what skills you are working on right now, but what you advise younger designers?
Curiosity. I mean, if you're curious and you like to dig deeper into needs of other people, if you're a very selfish person and you think always you know how it's going to be, it might not be the right job for you. I mean, you always need to be open-minded and change your opinion based on what you hear, because that's the most important part. But I think most of the people can get a design thinker because it's not rocket science.
I know that you're a great fan of space and space travel. So your wall is full of space and Star Wars equipment.
That's right.
In terms of new horizons, what's the next horizon of experience design and research? What do you think?
I think that's the part where the user gets more and more into designing itself. I mean, you have it today where you can create your own shoes and things like that. And I think the next level would be also with AI and machine learning to help users to design what they want to have. So leave out all the complicated stuff. For example, if you have a product, what kind of materials do I have? Where can I order it or something like that? So I think AI and design is it's a very tough field. I mean, it's like always, you talk about making your job obsolete, but I never think that's the case. It's just enhancing us. So making us better and take away the stuff you cannot grab because based on data, it's so much, you need an AI. I can imagine, for example, if you have interviews with end users, a contextual search based on AI, And the wording can help you a lot, saving time and also maybe find insights you don't know and you don't see it because our brain is limited. And I think that's a cool space where I hope that there will be more approaches. I don't know if there are some startups out there or working on that, also with visual design or creating wireframes or mockups. I think AI can help there a lot. And yeah, I hope it will go into that direction. And I also looking into it, maybe I find somebody supporting here.
Okay, then finally, we have our top five questions. What's your number one book you recommend?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with design.
Doesn't matter.
but it's very creative. So my the book I read a lot and more than one time is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Great.
Yeah, because it offers you an answer.
Right. All right. Your number one resource, blog, podcast.
Yeah, I thought about that. And again, I need to say that the first thing I check every day is Dilbert. I don't know if you know Dilbert.
Yes.
I can only recommend Dilbert. It's my daily dose of humor, and it's playing in a business environment, so it's fantastic. But as a second one, I also check regularly is Heise. That's a German IT blog where a lot of stuff about innovation, technical stuff, and that's a way where I expand my knowledge. Because if you only follow blogs limited to the thing you do, you don't get the view outside. And I think Heise is a great blog for that.
Number one person you follow.
Yeah, that happened from Shark Tank, from the German Shark Tank, that I noticed Frank Thelen. Mm-hmm. He is the European serial founder and investor. And I like his broad approach about seeing how innovation and Germany should need to change to be competitive in the global market. And I also found it interesting about his work with startups, how he's doing that. And yeah, that's also a blog, or where on Twitter I follow him.
Your number one research method.
Again, back interviews. But for sure, the best thing is to conduct the interviews on site. So I know these days we need to do it digitally, but online, on-site research is so important. And I also had a pretty tough research because we worked on a project where we should create the operation room of the future. And for sure, on-site research means you need to go to an operation room. And we have been part of four operations also with an open breast and like that. It was pretty tough, but we learned so much about the doctors and how they work there. Also, I learned that the professor heard Guns N' Roses during surgery. And yeah, with that and how they feel and how they talk, nothing else is better than an on-site research, going to the people where they work and how they work.
So it doesn't fit in one's prejudice, right? That a doctor only hears classical music.
No.
Right. Number one skill a designer must have. Well, we talked about this already, but just to have it in the top five.
It's empathy.
Empathy. All right.
So empathy is one of the most important skills because it not only creates so tangible synergies, but also synergies of spirit, and that leads to new ideas and innovations.
Thomas, thank you so much. It was a pleasure. It was super interesting. Thank you so much.
I'm pleased to be here. Thank you for that. The time is already over, that flies. Thanks a lot.